Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hi, everybody. This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills announcing our 30th anniversary tonight, a big 30th anniversary party for the opening of Ted's of Beverly Hills, opened by my father, Dick Bell, in 1971.
Oh,
is that it?
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
And Ted Bell joins us from Ted's of Beverly Hills, where you are having your 30th anniversary party tonight. Is that right, Ted?
That is absolutely right, Phil. We're getting set to open the doors for dinner here in about 20 minutes. And I would like to say to you and to your audience, we'd like everybody down to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight. It's going to be a great Friday night in Beverly Hills. Our 30th anniversary since my father, Dick Bell, opened the doors to a restaurant he named after a little 11-year-old boy by the name of Ted. And since then, we have served probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 million steaks to thousands of people across America. And I think people come to our restaurant. We're very, very grateful for that.
Ted, we're on the air tonight to talk about President Bush's campaign to raise money for the children of Afghanistan by asking the children of America.
That's right. That's right. And tonight, was that today we were going to do that?
Today, yes. On the show right now, we want to talk about how I am sponsoring a group of kids from the William Kiesling home in Kaneo Valley. They're going to be raising money for the children of Afghanistan.
Well, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do, Phil, and this was an idea that I had. At 10 o'clock tonight, in our cocktail lounge and throughout the entire restaurant, we're going to raise a glass at 10 o'clock to the Afghanistan.
Well, the children is who we're...
To the children of Afghanistan, we're going to raise a glass and toast the children of Afghanistan tonight at 10 o'clock at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Let's talk a little bit, Ted, about the program that the president has suggested, and that is that the children of America raise money. Now, I am sponsoring a group of kids from the William Kiesling home, as you know, and they are children who have suffered from a variety of diseases, juvenile diabetes to cancer. They're going to be collecting tonight at your restaurant.
That is absolutely right. And you know what, Phil? We had a better idea. I know that these kids are coming. When are they coming in?
Supposedly someone from your restaurant is going to go pick them up.
All right, okay, great.
And they're going to be there tonight probably around 7 o'clock.
Well, what we had a great idea. What if the kids collect down the street in front of the bank, which is just about a block and a half from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and if they did that, the bank is closed, so there wouldn't be as much, that people would not be jostling them, because I know these kids, you say that they've got cancer, or I know a lot of them are sick, isn't that right?
Yeah, they come from the William Kiesling home in Kaneo Valley.
That's the one where the kids with the diabetes, right?
That is the one, yeah.
All right, well, my idea was to have them down in an area where they wouldn't get jostled and pushed about so much, Phil. So what we're going to do when those kids show up, and you say that they're taking a bus or what, I didn't get the information.
You know, I'm a little bit concerned. Someone from your restaurant is supposed to go pick them up. They're not taking a bus. I don't want those children taking a bus. They're all only about 10 and 11 years of age, coming all the way in from the Kaneo Valley. I don't want them to do that, okay?
No, that's all right. That's about 7 o'clock, right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
All right, so what we thought is we'd have them down the street.
Well, no, when I spoke with you and I spoke with Jamie, right? Is that who?
Yeah, that's our office manager.
She said the kids could be in the foyer there right near the Mater D stand collecting money.
No, I think being down the street's better, Phil. I think it's better for the adults. I think it's better for the kids.
How can it be better for the... I don't want to argue. I mean, I appreciate you helping us, but it doesn't help us if the kids aren't in the restaurant collecting money for the children of Afghanistan.
Right. Here's the problem I'm having, Phil. You are asking me to have bald children who have chemo, right?
That's correct.
All right. You know very well that right now the country is very nervous about a lot of things, and having these kids with chemotherapy, I don't want to create another scare of any kind. So what I'm asking is...
What kind of a scare?
I think I'm being responsible. Having the kids down the street, they can't infect anybody.
You can't infect anyone with cancer.
Well, I understand that, but when you walk in, let me tell you something. I need to explain this, Phil. Many of my customers, and I'm not proud of this, but many of my customers are alcoholics. Now, you got a guy walking through the door at 7 o'clock at night on the first wave of the DTs, and the first thing his eyes see is a bald kid with a pewter plate full of coins. You're going to send that guy into detox, and I am legally liable for that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, if I understand you, you're saying that a child who is bald from chemo could send some guy who's an alcoholic into the throes of DTs?
Yes, and I'm legally liable. I can go to jail. So why are you forcing the children to the front door of the restaurant here?
Let me give our phone number here, Ted. This is not the way I thought it was going to work out, if you understand.
No, I'm all for getting money for the kids in Afghanistan.
No, but we were going to do it in your restaurant. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm told you need to get away from the crowd there. It's a little loud.
Is this better?
Yes. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, who... What are you telling me? Am I going to have the children there collecting money at your restaurant tonight or not?
Yes. Yes, you are, Phil. I'm a little insulted that you keep hammering that point.
Are you going to let them in the restaurant?
I can't because of what's going on in the country. I can't. If you got kids who have diabetes or they have cancer, people are afraid that they're going to get infected. I realize it's crazy, Phil. Hey, listen.
Ted, you can't get infected from cancer, okay?
I didn't make this world. Okay? It's not me. I understand. It's not me. I have to think about my customers.
You got to think about your stupid customers?
I know these little kids are sick, and they still want to help the little Afghan kids, but a bunch of bald... Phil, are you ready for the truth?
What?
A bunch of bald, drooling, pale-skinned kids is bad for business. Okay, there, I said it.
Well, then get off of that kick about how a bald kid with a pewter plate full of coins is going to send some guy into detox. And I tell you something right now, it's not the greatest advertising for your business.
Phil, lower your voice.
It's not the greatest advertising for your business.
That's better. I don't like to be yelled at.
I'm sorry, but you promised me that these children could collect money in your restaurant tonight, and now you're telling me they got to go down the street in front of a bank. I don't even know if these kids are going to be picked up by you or not. Because of what? Because the people are afraid that...
You've got people who are afraid of getting a bioterrorism.
From a kid with cancer who's on chemo?
Phil, some of the people that eat in my restaurant are pretty stupid. A lot of them in the entertainment business. A lot of them...
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do here. 1-800...
Look, I got our 30th anniversary tonight. We got John Beard is going to stop in for a Ted. Bridget Fonda, who's a big fan of our 20-ounce Santa Maria Theodora tri-tip, which was named after my daughter Carol, she's coming in.
Why can't the... I don't care about John Beard and the rest of them. Why can't she, the kids, come in and collect money in the outer lobby?
I'm Ted Bell, Phil. I'm Ted... I can't have it. All right, I'm Ted Bell. You know what? You know, we're going to raise a glass to the kids.
All right. Turn him off for a minute. Now I'm really... He said that those kids could go into that restaurant tonight and collect money. They're raising money for the kids in Afghanistan. President Bush has asked the children of America, and he doesn't want kids who are on chemotherapy because people are afraid they'll get infected. Why don't you explain to them they can't get cancer? Did you talk to him, Mike? Are those kids going to be picked up? Ted?
I'm right here.
You can't get cancer from somebody. It's not an airborne virus.
I know that, but I've got a lot of idiots that eat in my restaurant.
So the guys that come into your restaurant to eat your steak think it's contagious.
Look, we're going to raise a glass. Those jars you see in a convenience store with Dean Martin's picture on it, I'm going to match what's in the jar. And we're going to send over tri-tip for the Northern Alliance once they take Kabul. But if I put one of my customers in a straitjacket because he comes wheeling out of the men's room smack into an E.T., I can go to jail. And that's it.
What do you mean, E.T.?
I think you know what I mean.
Are you saying these kids look like E.T.?
I sent a guy into detox because he's looking at some dwarf with no hair.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. So what's he going to do? Put him down the street in front of the bank. I'll go down there myself. I'll stand there with those kids. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Live from Ted's of Beverly Hills, Ted Bell has joined me on The Phil Hendry Show. It's the 30th anniversary of Ted's restaurant, but it also happens to be a night when some kids were going to go down there and collect money for the children of Afghanistan. President Bush has asked the children of America to collect money for the children of Afghanistan. You think that's a good cause, right?
Yes, Phil, are you speaking to me?
I'm speaking to you, yeah.
Of course I do. I think it's a tremendous cause, and I think it is a cause worthy of every child in America. You are asking me to have kids into the lobby of my restaurant tonight who have undergone chemotherapy. As a result, they've lost their hair. Now I've got five or six kids with no hair standing around in the lobby of a restaurant, which is an upscale restaurant, which has, and I'm sorry, yes, I've got a lot of alcoholics that were,
I think it's ridiculous to think that an alcoholic is going to go into DTs just by looking at a kid with a bald head. That means that an alcoholic goes into DTs because he hasn't got anything to drink.
The alcoholic shouldn't drink. He sees a kid with a bald head, he may start. And that's what I'm trying, this is the point I'm trying to make. You don't understand the restaurant business.
You don't understand the charity business, and you don't understand what the president's been saying when he says he wants to raise money for these kids. Melissa, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. I love your show.
Thank you.
I would just like to say to this guy, these people are not idiots that are eating in his restaurant. These are the same people who put on the benefit dinners, who...
Well, I think I know these people a little bit more than you do.
Right. Well, they do the fundraisers. They stand up on stage.
Yeah.
They do the telethons. They do
everything. But they don't want it in the where they're eating their food.
Well, you know what, though?
Yeah. You know what?
I think they're a lot more understanding than you are.
Well, Melissa.
By the way, are you balding?
I beg your pardon?
Are you balding?
That's none of your business.
Well, because
why?
Them eating in the restaurant and looking like E.T., as you say,
well,
is the same thing as you being in the restaurant bald while they're eating.
Look, I got Bridget Fonda coming in and biting into one of my tri-tips, and she's going to look at that.
I don't care. That's wonderful that you have Bridget Fonda coming in.
That's right.
But you know what?
You know,
she's a lot more well-known than
you,
and what you think means nothing.
Do you know Bridget Fonda? No, you don't. So how do you know what she likes to eat?
I can tell you that I'm sure Bridget Fonda doesn't mind eating a steak or a tri-tip or whatever the hell it is, looking at a bald kid collecting money for the Afghan kids.
Well, maybe she does, maybe she doesn't, but I can't run the risk of having her throwing her fork down and dashing out of my restaurant because some kid waddles up to her with no hair. What are you talking? What is wrong with you?
What does it matter if the children have hair or not?
Exactly. What does it matter?
They do it raising money for a charity.
All right, forget Bridget Fonda. What about the alcoholics I was talking about? What about the alcoholics I was talking about?
What about them?
You want to put them in a detox?
Oh, man, you and that drinking. You know what? If I were you, I wouldn't be serving any juicers in your establishment. Here is Linda on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Yeah.
So in other words, I'm not supposed to serve drinks.
Phil.
Not to alkies, no.
Hello. I'm really not understanding you at all. In fact, I think you're judging other people by yourself. I don't think all these great Hollywood personalities that you're talking about are quite as ignorant as you are.
Well, you sound like the last caller. Do you have anything original to say?
Well,
yeah,
I didn't think so.
But I'm in the restaurant business, okay?
I know you're in the restaurant business.
You're in the restaurant business.
All that you're about, that's greed.
No.
And I'm sure that the people
let me ask you a question, Linda. How much money have you given to sick kids in Afghanistan? None? That's what I thought.
Let
her talk.
That's not the point.
You haven't given a nickel. I've got these bald kids a block from my restaurant.
I work with cancer patients day in and day out.
Do you give money to Afghani kids?
I give my time, my energy, and my heart.
Where are the kids from that you work
people,
with?
Every
Where are the kids from?
Walk of life.
Where are the kids from?
They even sometimes have
All right,
that
nobody's listening to anybody.
Owners.
All right, where are the kids from America that you work with?
They're kids from all walks of life.
Are they from Afghanistan or America?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does, because President Bush said...
Well, what are you doing? You got the bald kids down the street taking money in front of a bank because you don't want them to, quote, get jostled by all the adults. That's bullcrap. You don't want bald kids in your lobby.
Did you tell me they were on chemo?
Tell you what?
Did you tell me they were on chemo?
Yeah, I told you they were sick kids. I said they had juvenile diabetes and cancer.
Okay, but you didn't tell me they were bald.
No, I didn't tell you they were bald.
So, you lied to me. and I'm going to have them...
I didn't lie to you. I told you the kids were going to come into the restaurant. They were going to collect money. I said they had diabetes, they had cancer, and they were going to collect the money for the kids in Afghanistan.
And you said nothing about them looking like E.T.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ted. Hi, it's Phil Hendry, man. Hey, can I send some kids into your restaurant that look like E.T. tonight so they can collect money for the kids?
Well, at least it would have been truth in advertising, but instead you spring it on me on your radio show. If I had the information they look like that bat baby boy from the tabloid, I wouldn't have agreed to this.
The bat baby boy from the tabloid now, is it? So that's what they look like, huh?
Yeah, with the pointed ears and the whole thing.
Well, they don't have pointed ears.
Are you prepared on your show to say that chemo doesn't give you pointed ears?
Yeah, I'm prepared to say that. And for you to even ask that question, boy, stick with the restaurant business, man, because you would be lost if you didn't have that gig.
Gig? Oh, now it's a gig. Like it's a radio gig or something, huh?
If you didn't have that restaurant gig...
Let me tell you something. I built this restaurant. My father ran it into the ground and left me with a Chapter 11.
So that's it, huh?
Yes, that's it.
And here I thought that you were celebrating your father opening it in 1971.
Hey, he was an alky like half these guys I serve.
Unbelievable. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, me?
Yeah.
Hi.
I'm not the one who went from town to town up and down the dial like you.
Thank you. I got it.
Okay. Ted, it's horrible what you're doing here. All right, these kids, they are trying to do something really good. And your concern is your dollars and nothing else.
Okay, yeah. Well, look, when you guys all start giving money to the Afghani kids, then you call in and tell me how I'm doing something wrong. I bet you half of you guys don't even know that there are kids in Afghanistan.
My son has written for the Crayon Coalition. I don't know if you've even heard of that.
The what?
The Crayon Coalition, yes.
The Crayon Coalition.
That's the thing that President Bush is asking the kids to do.
No, this is something separate on the Glenn Beck show.
You didn't know, did you, Phil? The Crayon Coalition is something on the Glenn Beck show. Who?
The Glenn Beck show.
The Glenn Beck show. It's another show. It's in Tampa.
Oh, all right. It's
okay.
Tampa.
And it's a national thing that's spreading around.
Where are the L.A. people?
What would happen if an albino that didn't have any hair walked in your restaurant?
Hey, John,
would you turn him away?
If a what?
If an albino with no hair walked in your restaurant, would you turn him away because you have other customers? Because that's about what you're saying.
I got a booth for him. I have a booth for people.
Oh, you'd hide him in the corner.
I have a booth for people like that, yes.
A booth for people like that.
That's pretty sad. And I will never ever.
Wait. You asked me a question. You said, would I turn him away? I said, no, I have a specialized booth for individuals that others don't want to see while they're eating.
So you don't believe in equality.
Did you ever see
judge people on how they look.
Did you ever see the Elephant Man?
Yes.
I swore up and down I would never refuse service to the Elephant Man if he ever came in.
But you'll hide him in the corner.
I constructed a booth,
just as bad.
Especially high sides to it, because his head, I don't know if you ever saw it, but the head is so big, he couldn't be in a regular booth. And anyway...
Will you forget it?
All right.
The more you talk, the more like a jackass.
What if the Elephant Man did come in and say,
and
you know what, I'd like to see what's going on tonight. I'd like to be in a spot where I could see everything. You would say no because of how you look.
No, I'd say, okay, just wait till the place empties out. By the way, Johnny Winter hasn't come in for over 10 years.
Whatever,
really
okay. All right, thanks for your call.
All right.
1-800-449-8686. What is this?
I get two commercials every half hour.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Whether you're the Elephant Man or a kid with chemo, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Tonight's our 30th anniversary, and if you're horrible to look at, we have a special booth constructed for you. Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Hello?
Yeah,
I was owed that commercial.
Yeah, I know. You paid your airtime.
So, Phil, bring the chemo kids down. Tell you what, if you can bring them down in a high-sided flatbed truck, that way they can...
Yeah, okay, right, Ted. Well, I won't be bringing them down at all. 1-800-449-8686. Will you turn that off? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
A small number of U.S. Special Forces troops are on the ground in northern Afghanistan on a non-combat liaison mission with Northern Alliance opposition forces. How do we know that? Oh, defense officials told CNN. I thought we were supposed to not know any of this stuff. I guess, you know, what's really interesting about this is that there may be no guys on the ground in northern Afghanistan. Maybe they're only on the ground in southern Afghanistan, or maybe they're not on the ground at all. Did you hear what the Taliban said? The Tally-ho released a statement. We were going to use that word Tally-ho in one of our bits, but we didn't, so I just decided to throw it. Well, actually, we are going to use it in another bit we're going to do today. Anyway, the Taliban said that they want 100,000 troops. I wonder if they realize how nervous all that talk sounds. It doesn't sound formidable. It sounds nervous. The other thing that I heard today is that these guys are simply being pulled this way and that by bin Laden. There is no government in that country other than the one that is being run by bin Laden and his pals. And then I saw that Omar interviewed on TV today, that sheikh, the guy that runs Afghanistan, and there was a guy just to the right of him who looked like an engineer I used to work with at Westwood One. And what's that all about? Anyway, a small number of U.S. Special Forces troops are on the... I wonder if the guy split and became a Muslim and now works for the Taliban. He used to be a session engineer on the Dr. Demento show. And now he's a Islamic fundamentalist. Anyway, speaking of that, where's Cat Stevens when we'd like to hear a little bit from him? You know, what's up with him, huh? I love that cat's music, if you'll pardon the pun. I really did. And now he's nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be heard. Small number of U.S. Special Forces troops were on the ground in northern Afghanistan on a non-combat liaison mission. Defense officials said those forces are not engaging in direct combat at this time. Now, what do you suppose they're doing? Are they getting targeting positions for the Taliban forces? That doesn't seem like they need to have a guy on the ground to do that, do they? Or are they telling the Northern Alliance, why don't you guys just shut up, chill out, we'll do it when we do it. You just sit down, have yourselves another can of pork and beans and quit bugging me. Just sit around a campfire, light a bowl full, and, you know, sing some campfire songs. Worry about it. Pentagon officials asked if there were troops in southern Afghanistan, steered reporters away from the idea any operations are taking place near the Taliban stronghold of Kandahar. However, they would not rule out such operations in the future. The officials said there were a number of areas the troops need to discuss with the Northern Alliance, including matters dealing with intelligence and weaponry. The Northern Alliance, which has been battling the Taliban to take the airport at the northern crossroads city of Mazar-e-Sharif, has been asking for additional aid from the U.S. Earlier on Friday, a senior U.S. official told CNN that troops were deployed in southern Afghanistan in recent days for operations consistent with the changing nature of the operation. Well, all of this adds up to one thing in my book. They're giving us less and less information, and that's fine with me. U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft has told us to stay alert, but what does alert mean? Well, they've released some pointers, some things that you might do to be alert and to take a look and see who's acting like a jackass and who isn't, and who's been naughty and who's been nice. Watch for someone attempting to gain access to something they shouldn't have or somewhere they don't belong, like my kids trying to bust into a liquor cabinet or into our pantry late at something like that. Strange or frequent comings or goings, which means you stand around the can here, you're going to see some guy. I don't mean to make a joke out of every damn thing that comes out of my mouth, but you want to know something? Live in this town long enough, you're going to be turning everybody in. Are you kidding me? Someone carrying a weapon. Yeah, that's... Someone who appears to be concealing something or attempting to put something over on somebody. Clues on the job. Crime solving has come from tips by people at work, for example, film processing or computer repair employees who notice something out of the ordinary. Suspicious mail or packages. Watch for people conducting themselves in a strange manner or making unusual requests. Example, the case of a student pilot interested only in learning how to steer a plane, not taking off or landing. Hello? Sweeney said it might be something that strikes you as not appropriate for whatever environment you're operating in, or something that just seems abnormal. This guy Sweeney, by the way, is a security expert. If you notice something suspicious, call 911 or the local police department. Remain calm without overreacting. Some law officials have expressed frustration that well-intentioned citizens, frightened by the most innocent of circumstances, have stretched their workforce thin. You imagine just getting into an elevator, looking at the guy next to you, and then headlocking him and wrestling him to the ground, simply because I don't know. He just didn't look. Well, what are you doing? You broke the guy's neck. Well, he didn't look right. A rider ordered a bus stopped and evacuated because sand on the floor was feared to be a suspicious powder. A cardboard box on a curb was assumed to be a bomb. A truck that kicked up a load of dust was thought to be men of Middle Eastern descent spraying the road. We had 80 calls of suspicious substances or packages yesterday, said one cop. Not one of them produced anything at all. Now, here's the thing that you're also going to have to be aware of. These things calm down as we take ourselves further and further away from the event. But if we get another attack of some kind, and we have been told by the president and we've been told by the attorney general that it's likely that somewhere along the line somebody else is going to pull something, I don't know what, let's keep this in mind, this freak-out factor, okay? Because if we get another building hit, they just pulled a bomb out of a Greyhound bus station in Philadelphia today. Thank God they found it. It was explosive material, I should say, in a suitcase or box in the Greyhound bus station in Philadelphia. Somebody opened their eyes and saw it and called a cop and nobody hurt. And, you know, all's well that ends well. They said they got some good forensic evidence off of this thing. That's the kind of alert they're talking about. But if a bomb were to go off or if something else were to happen, which we're told by the president, by the attorney general, that it is a likely thing, we still got to be cool. Still got to be cool. Now, I understand what people are saying. It's not an insane sense to have about, for instance, flying when four, count them four, American aircraft are hijacked within 1 hour of each other, and all four are flown in such a manner as to cause the death of thousands. Not one, not two, four. And it wasn't Greece. And it wasn't India, it was America. So I get it. It's probably fairly reasonable. But it's not reasonable to sit there and say it's not safe to fly when you know full damn well it's never been safer. That's irrational. That's what they're talking about. It's rational to say, geez, four airplanes, who got caught with their pants down on that job? That's very rational, very sensible, and very intelligent to be stunned, to be shocked beyond belief that something like that could happen. It's not rational to say it's not safe to fly when you know the skies now have been secured to such an extent that they've never been more secure. It's rational to say, oh, my God, anthrax, that sure is scary, and there are people, and this is nuts, and it's never happened again. It's not rational to believe that everybody's going to get it and die from it, especially what you know now that you didn't know a week ago. This country is smarter by 8 billion IQ points 1 week to the next on this anthrax deal alone. You get it on your skin, you take your antibiotic, it's over. If you breathe 18 pounds of it in, yeah, you'll die. It seemed like the first guy did. Everybody else is fine. The other guy, I think there's a second gentleman in Florida who is in serious condition because of the, I believe it's inhaled anthrax. It's not weaponized. Does anybody even know what weaponized means? Is there anybody out there that knows what weaponized or weapons grade means? You just hear this crap spilled out onto the airwaves. Weapons grade. Well, what does that mean? Well, you don't know, do you? Of course you don't, because nobody explains it to you. Weapons grade means it's been refined to the point where it can get into one's lungs. But that isn't all. It also has to be something that is mutated, bacteria resistant, and can be delivered in a large quantity to a large area. Therefore, the anthrax that we're seeing in this country ain't weapons grade. It's something somebody cooked up someplace, and somebody's going to find out, but it's not weapons grade. Okay, but anyway, we're all chilled out on that, and I realize that. In a minute, I'm going to give my NFL picks, because you know what? It happens to be Saturday. It happens to be Sunday. It's not Sunday. This is Friday. You know, I'm still thinking about weapons grade anthrax. This is Friday. Tomorrow is Saturday, and then Sunday. Isn't that right? Okay. Therefore, I'm going to watch football on, not today, tomorrow, Sunday, yes. I am not watching UCLA-Cal because it's going to suck, but I will watch that pro schedule on Sunday, and I've got the brand new TV sets to prove it. which, by the way, I'd like to thank the guys over at my favorite joint there, Wilshire, out in Thousand Oaks. They came in, they put the TVs in, and when one of the receivers didn't work, they came right back out the next day and fixed it because they know a guy jonesing for football. Anyway, I'll give our picks and some other picks. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, the other thing I've noticed, I don't know if anybody else has, do you notice how many of these bioterrorism experts are women? And they all have a Barbara Billingsley look to them. They're all like, there's a dress, got a button to the top, and a horn rim glass look. No, I'm not saying anything other than it's a fascinating thing to see what career tacks people take. And the bioterrorism expert career area, I guess they had a job fair on it sometime at Vassar, and there's like a lot of women in there. Job fair this weekend, bioterrorism expert. Gee, that looks interesting, Sally. And because I've seen them interviewed on television over the last few days, and there's lots and lots and lots of them. Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Enough of this bioterrorism crap. Let's move on to the real deal. Let's move on to getting televisions installed in your house so that you can have more than one football game on this Sunday. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry, and I just purchased two brand new TV sets for my house, and they're Sony Trinitrons. The picture's fantastic on these suckers, and I got them ceiling mounted. Check that out. Up on the ceiling, on racks, tilted down, beverage of your choice, any game you want, DirecTV.
Oh, yeah.
And what happened today was my wife calls me and says, did you lock the door to the house? I said, well, yeah. Well, how the hell are they going to get in? Well,
oh, no.
And I went into like this major sweating, blood sweating panic, trying to call the guys to get them into the house so they could go in and do the thing. But I think they finally did it. I'll be, you know, when I get home, I'll have to wait and see. The other question we were raising here, how come, Todd brought this up, why is there such a thing as a DVD, a five DVD disc changer? In other words, so what are we doing? Are we planning our movies 2 months out here? Hi, honey, we really need to get that. Well, what is that? Well, I can understand with a CD for the music because, like, the one album is, what, maybe 35, 40 minutes? Freaking movie's 2.5 hours. Guy puts five of them in there. Gonna just hunker down for a little movie watching this weekend, Bill? I think I'll start out with Evil Dead 2, then we'll move on to, I don't know, something Driving Miss Daisy. Then we'll shift into Night of the Living Dead, the 68 version, black and white. Then from there, of course, a nice, you know, Steel Magnolias. And then Fried Green Tomatoes. And then from there, probably, oh, I don't know, I Spit on Your Grave. So there you have it. Five great female classics. Something every woman would like. I Spit on Your Grave, Steel Magnolias. Here is Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Mark?
Hello, Phil. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I recently just installed cable in my entire upstairs. I've got a couple rooms up there that didn't have it, and I put a couple TVs in there. And basically, my girlfriend doesn't like to watch football, so we kind of got to split the house up on the weekend. But if she wasn't there, I'd be able to watch football in every room in my house except for the kitchen. And all in all, it totals about six TVs.
You know, I really feel that because football is only 16 weeks out of the year, it's one of the greatest sports from that standpoint. It only requires 16 weekends out of the year, and then it's over. Then it's done. That women or men, whoever the case may be, whoever the roommate may be, just gotta deal with it, you know? If we want to have football in every room in the house, why can't we? Especially if you've got friends in every room in the house. Especially if you have friends sleeping in every room in the house. But it's only a 16-week season. What's the story?
I'm still waiting for them to declare the Super Bowl a national holiday. And, you know, it's supposed to be the Super Bowl of commercials as well, you know?
Well, here's the deal. They probably ought to declare 9/11 a national holiday before we get around to Super Bowl Sunday. But in any event, I believe that this concept of the football widow is one of the more overstated phenomenons. Football widow? Well, I never hear a hockey widow, basketball widow, or baseball widow. And those that's 162 games for baseball and 82 games for basketball and hockey. So what are they talking about? Thank you for your call, Mark. I mean, you know, 16 lousy weekends, but it's the football fan that gets nailed with the whole widow tag. I'm a football widow. I don't see my husband for 2 whole hours a week. I know some guys, well, I used to know some guys, when baseball was popular, I knew some guys would come home and watch a ball game every night. Now, of course, it's pretty boring. Nobody does that. But in the old days, I don't even know who's going to be in the series. I understand the Yankees beat the Mariners. I think that's a good thing. A Seattle-Arizona World Series? Yeah. All right. Now, that's what I call classic traditional baseball. The Diamondbacks and the Mariners. That's one you dream about from the time you're a kid. The crack of the ball through the spring air, the smell of the fresh-cut grass, and Arizona and Seattle in the soup, in the whatever the hell they call it. I think they ought to change the name of it to that. And this year in the whatever the hell they call it, Seattle and Arizona. It's a great one. It's a classic. It's a dandy. The Super Series, yeah. As it is, it's going to be Atlanta and New York, so that means another New York win. So anyway, now nothing against you Braves fans, but I said it when I worked in Atlanta. I'm going to say it again. You can't really be throwing a whole lot of parades for National League pennant winners. You need to win the World Series more than once. You need to win the World Series more than one time to be considered a team for the ages. You got a terrific front office, tremendously talented guys. They just can't push it over the hill. They just can't get it done. The 1 year they went up against Cleveland, kudos for that. But Atlanta being in the playoffs and in the World Series is, it's kind of like New York being in the playoffs and the World Series, except New York wins. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, here's Bill on the Phil Hendry Show. Bill?
Hey, it's great to get on. First of all, I want to kind of fit in here talking about sports because I was listening one night when you did that Jim Rome skit.
Oh, yeah?
You did a long time ago.
Did you like that one?
Oh, my God, that killed me. I'm driving a truck, and I could not.
Was he doing the gas mask bit, or what was that?
No, it was before 9/11, you know. It was.
Jim's a great guy. He's a very nice man. He hasn't ever said anything.
Well, you're doing better than he does himself. But, yeah, we need you to get back to your comedy, man, because. Are you there?
I'm here. I've been getting back to the comedy, you knucklehead. Haven't you been listening to it?
Man, that's what I love is this split-side comedy that you give us once in a while. So keep it up.
Once in a while? It's like freaking every day. Get out of here. This guy tunes in just because we're talking about anthrax. Hey, you know what? As I said, after 9/11, the show is going to change. And I'm going to start, you know, unburdening myself a little bit more on the air. Talking with the fans, having you call in. Little interchange, you know, it's, like I said, things for me are never going to be the same, including this show. So if we're going to do a little more interaction, I think that's a good thing, that's healthy. Do a little bit more to shtick. I like to condense that shtick down, man. We're doing like 30 minutes an hour, which is fine with me. All right, I have to tell you this because I've been blowing it, man. Next Friday, October 26th, I'm going to broadcast my show live from the Museum of Television Radio in Beverly Hills as part of the 2001 Radio Festival. 64 of my biggest fans and their guests will be part of my live audience for a special local show from 7 to 10 p.m. Enter to win a pair of tickets by logging on to philhenryshow.com and look for the link on the main page. That's next Friday, October 26th, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Museum of Television and Radio. Log on to philhenryshow.com for more details.